Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew, chapter 22. We're going to read verses 36 through 40 together. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. All right, and we'll read this passage responsively. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In verse 40, let's finish on that together. Ready? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for being the head of this church. Lord, thank you for the privilege of leading and pastoring these people. Lord, I never want to take it for granted. Never want to take for granted their love for me, their love for you, their love for one another. And tonight, as a preacher, I realize I will fail. There's no way that I could adequately, with sinful human words, describe the topic tonight. But would you do that which I could not do in my failure, please? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I am really excited about tonight's message. I have wanted to preach this for about 4 months, and the Lord just hasn't given me the clearance, but we got it today from headquarters, amen? Maybe one of the most powerful section of verses in Scripture is right here in Matthew 22. The Pharisees were asking, a lawyer was asking Jesus a question. And by the way, the lawyers haven't changed in 2,000 years. They're still antagonistic and leading. They said, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And he said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He shut them up in a hurry. Now, these verses are powerful verses. These are kind of like the rocket boosters on the space shuttle. These have afterburners in them. Once they kick in, it just launches you to a new realm. And if you can get a hold of this in your life, it will change you. We are told that we need to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. And God says this is the great commandment. It's not a request. He didn't say, I'd like for you to do this. He said, this is the great commandment. I'm coming back to that. We're going to change gears here for a second. I probably shouldn't use a name, but add it to the list of other things I probably shouldn't do, and it doesn't matter. Back in the 1970s, mid to late 1970s, Brother Falwell had a big campaign going, like he always had a big campaign going. Remember the old pins he was selling, Jesus First pins. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Probably half of you got them, or six or eight of them. The Jesus First pins. I have heard so many preachers, I've heard so many Christians, and they use the term, you ought to put Jesus first in your life. I know what they mean, but they've got it wrong. They've got it wrong. I get weary of people who make statements with good intentions and misrepresent Scripture. By the way, I've done it too. I'm human. I'm as guilty as any other human being would be of this. But if you'll listen to me, I think I could help you. These are God's words, not man's words. You'll get tired of me saying, Matthew did not write this, God wrote this. Paul did not write, God wrote. Moses did not say, God said. These are God's words to man. Now listen very carefully. I cannot wait to get to heaven when Jesus teaches us the word of God. Wow. I get excited about that. God tells us here to love with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. What is wrong with the statement, Jesus first? Let me show you. If I had a ladder up here, a step ladder up here that had, let's say, 5 steps on it, Jesus first, he would be that bottom rung. And you say, well, I love that rung. That's Jesus. That's my favorite rung, Brother Hollinger, and I'm going to get on that. Here's the problem. When you go to rung number 2, you just left rung number 1. Jesus didn't say, I want to be first in your life. You see, to have a number 1, there must be number 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, and you can't get to those other levels without leaving number 1. For instance, I love my wife, but if she's just first in my life, I'd come down here, excuse me, fellas, and say, okay, it's time to preach, because she's first in my life. I love her. Then I got to go to work. I'll give her another kiss. That's just being first in my life. That doesn't mean that I love her with all of my heart, my soul, and my mind. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, hang in here. The wrong term is Jesus first. Here's what God says. The word all, and you can do all the study you want, the word all means for, and I'm going to bring it down to where we live, it means the center. It's like the hub on a bike wheel or a stagecoach wheel, even your car tire. The hub. If you had a stagecoach wheel, let's say there's 15 different spokes on that stagecoach wheel. It's got the outer ring, and you've got that inner ring where all of those spokes come into that middle, and the hub and the axle attaches to that hub. You don't move the stagecoach wheel by taking the number 1 spoke and say, oh, I love you. You're my favorite spoke. Let me pull you and let me pull you and let me pull you. You move a wheel by pushing the hub. And as you push that hub, everything else follows. Everything is to be center. And God says here, I don't want to be first in your life. I want to be the center of every part of your love. I want to be the center of your marriage. I want to be the center of your parenting. I want to be the center of your work. I want to be the center of every aspect of your life. Not just first. I want to be center. Now, do I hear a pizza? Oh, I'm sorry. There are, and I'm not going to do a long Bible study here. Someday we may, but not right now. There are 2 major words for the word love in Scripture. Now, I realize there's 3 in the Greek language, and there's 2 in the Hebrew language, but what we're dealing with right now, there's 2 basic forms of the word love in Scripture. Especially in the New Testament, you have the word phileo, or phileos. It means we have the city of Philadelphia, or the city of brotherly love. Okay? If you've ever been to Philadelphia, that is a misnomer. But the word phileo. You also have the word agape. Now, agape is the deep, abiding, principled love of God. That is the kind of love that God has for man. Phileo, you can define it many different ways. Some of you will giggle. Some of you might not appreciate it. I don't care. The word phileo means affection. Phileo love is the tickle-feely love. That's a little bit more of the physical attraction. That's the tingly feelings. Okay, that's phileo. Agape doesn't need necessarily the tickle-feely. It's going to be there no matter what. It's that unconditional love. It is that constant, deep, abiding love of God. Whether you're right, whether you're wrong, you're loved anyways. Because of man's sin, man's love has changed. Man went from agape-ing God to not loving him at all at times. There's also something that took place. If you look at the curse that took place on man and woman in Genesis chapter 3, and I am not going to take time to go through this right now, but you'll find out God changed the love of man and God changed the love of woman. He said, man, I'm going to change your love in the fact that you're going to be working by the sweat of your brow. The ground will be cursed. You're not going to be receiving the affection from what I made from you. So there is going to be a lack of affection in your life. He also said in Genesis chapter 3 that a woman would then have to submit to her husband, and she would be in sorrow in her childbearing. I'm not going to go into this, but ladies, that's why a lot of times your emotions go like this. Okay? Now, it's deeper than that. I'm not going any farther tonight with that. But may I say this? Every man in this room is motivated by phileo love. Ask the advertisement industry. It's all affection. It's all superficial. It's all physical. All the tickle-feely stuff. That's why all the women like the soap operas. They like those love novels. They like the chick flicks. Amen. Say why? Because they want that deep, abiding, emotional, heartfelt love. A man doesn't care if he ever gets flowers. A woman does. You know, a man just wants 3 meals a day. He don't give a rip what it is either. Just flop her down. Let's suck it down. Now, the woman, she eats comfort food. Okay? That's that deep. You say, what's comfort food? Anything that goes down and stays down. That's comfortable. Amen? Now listen, as your preacher, I'm going to be very cautious as I say this. That's one reason I don't think it's wise for teenagers to date. You take a teenage young man, 14, 15, 16 years old, he has the young plant of agape in his life, but it's not mature yet. You add to it the fertilizer of a phileo love of a teenage girl. What happens when you pour a bottle of fertilizer on a young plant? In about 3 days, it's a crispy critter, amen? You burn it out. That's why in our society, we don't have agape love anymore. We have burned out the agape love of man because of all the phileo love the world gives. Teenage boy gets fertilized so much with the attention and affection of a teenage girl, that's where your sodomites come from. They get wore out on that affection and decide it doesn't satisfy anymore. I've got to try something else. Now listen to me. God wants to be the center of everything in your love. He doesn't want just the phileo. He wants the agape too. He wants to not only receive it, but he wants to provide it for you. Can I tell you something? God desires your affection. God desires for you to love him. God desires for you to spend time with him. I don't know about you, but when it's time to go home, I get a little excited. Because I know I'm going home to my wife, my kids. I get to go home. I get a little extra pitter-patter in my heart. Can I tell you something? When it's time to spend time with God, does your heart pitter-patter? Do you look as forward to spending time with God as you do going home? I'm going to apply much of this to marriage tonight. But listen to me. The principles apply across the board. Marriage is not an agreement. It's not a contract you sign. It is a commitment. Amen. June 24th, 1989, I told that lady in front of hundreds of people, in front of her mom and dad, in front of my mom and dad, in front of her pastor, her church, and our friends, that I was committing my life to her no matter what happened. in sickness and in health, poverty and in wealth. We only hit one part of that, amen, poverty. No, forsaking all others, keep myself only unto her so long as we both shall live. That was a commitment. And she, the same. And after almost 24 years, guess what? Still keeping it. Amen. Happily. Now listen to me very carefully. Agape love, we need to give others what they need. We don't need to want what we want. Let me make that statement again. We need to give others what they need, not want what we need or want. Can I tell you what makes a happy marriage? I forget about me and just focus on what she wants. I focus on what she needs. Say, well, then how do you get what you want? The more I do that and the more she forgets what she wants and focuses on what I want, the better the marriage is. That's how it works. I'm going to tell you a secret here in a little while that may help you with that. Agape looks past what the giver wants and tries to meet the object of the love. I don't like French vanilla cream and sugar in my coffee. If God intended it to be that way, the bean would grow that way on the tree. Amen? Now, that's just the way I am. Now, I know how she likes her coffee. Now, she can drink it black. She can drink it. She drinks all, you know, the caramel mocha cold and all that. God didn't intend that stuff to be cold either. Once it gets cold, either warm it up or throw that thing in the trash. Don't put ice cubes in it and say, ooh, that's good. Okay? Now, wait a minute. That's me. But she likes it. You see, I don't worry about how I want my coffee. Nobody has to worry about it. Just strong and black. If it don't stick to the cup, it's not good enough. Amen? Now, wait a minute. I don't expect her to live and to like her coffee the way I do. I look forward. Man, I'll go get her coffee every once in a while and just surprise her. Sometimes I'll be up early and hear her stirring around and get her coffee and get it ready for her. Not say a word, just have it out there when she's done. Say why? Because I'm trying to meet her needs, meet her desires. Say, what does she do for you? She lets me go hunting, amen. Blood and guts, bring it home, butcher it. She'll wrap it if I cut it all up, amen? She puts up with that. Say why? Because that's something I like. She doesn't like seeing those dead deer laying in the yard or hanging up underneath the porch. Hey, honey, come look at this. Mm-mm. She doesn't want to see it. She don't want to see that thing laying there going like this. You know, a deer never dies with its tongue in its mouth. It just never ceases to amaze me. It always hangs out to one side or the other. Now, wait a minute. She knows what I want. I know what she wants. And guess what? I don't worry about what I want. I want to please her. That's how you have a happy marriage. So many of you get in fusses with each other because she didn't get you what you wanted. She didn't give you the affection you wanted at that moment, so you're mad at her. Oh, that's real big boy stuff. Can I tell you something? God loved us so much, he gave us Jesus Christ. Do you think God wanted to put Jesus through Calvary? Do you honestly think God wanted to put Jesus through Calvary? Now think through that statement. But God loved us enough to look past what he wanted to give us what we needed. Don't let the byproduct become the goal. Men, you should not try to be the best husband in the world. Don't worry, you failed. You ought to be the best husband you can be for your wife. Ladies, you should not try to be the greatest wife in the world. I don't know how you would compare it anyway. You just ought to try to meet his needs. You see, sometimes we get this, well, I am, you know, college age. Oh, I'm just going to be the most wonderful wife in the world. I'm going to do everything I can to be the most wonderful wife. They're looking at the byproduct. I dealt with a college age person recently that they're working on getting married. And I was counseling them recently and asked a very good question. They said, how can I not be jealous of time with the person I'm engaged to? I said, that's easy. Fall in love with God. Give God all the attention. When you do have time with him, absorb every bit of it you can and thank God for it when you have it. I said, college is tough. Survive college. After that, it gets better. I promise. It doesn't make sense to them right now because they haven't been through it all. Been there, done that. Amen. You know, don't try to be the best parent in the world. Some of you are going to drive yourself to drink. Amen, Brother Jerry. your whole class saw that one coming. They were all going like this. Some of you are so concerned about being the best parent in the world. Can I tell you something? Give it up. You ought to be what each individual child you have needs. I'm not worried about being the best parent of three children. I want to be the best daddy I can for her, the best dad I can be for him, and the best dad I can be for the one that I got at Bible college right now. And I can't treat any of the three the same way in every situation because God made them all three different. Some of you, if they don't fit into your mold, you're frustrated. Fellas, your wife is not going to fit into the mold of a man. They don't think like a man. Praise the Lord. And ladies, we're not going to fit into your mold as a woman because ain't no man thinks like a woman. If he does, we're going to take him out back and fix it. Amen. If you expect each other to think like you, that's sodomy. Hello. Amen. You ought to be glad she thinks different than you. That's good. Hang on here. We're going somewhere. You ought to try to be the best parent you can be for the individual child that you have. I've got two boys and one girl. Guess what? All three of them take different parenting skills. All three of them. There are some things I can say to one of my children that I can't say to the other two. There are some I can say to two of them that I can't say to all three. Say why? Because they're just that much different. And I've got to be wise enough to know what they need, not worry about what I want or what I need. Do you know there's times I've given up doing what I want to do because one of my kids didn't want to do it? I really wanted to do something with them. They didn't want to do it. Did you do it anyway? Nope. I just went, I've got plenty to keep me busy. I didn't get dejected because they refused my offer. Some of you, if they don't fit into what you want to do, for some reason, that's not love. Number two, you can only love others to the degree that you love God. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You can only love others to the degree that you love God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, watch this, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Now look at me. That's why, young people, never date, never set your affection on someone that's lost. They cannot love you. They can lust you, but they cannot love you. They don't know God. That's why you don't date someone that's not right with God. Though they have the ability to have agape, they don't because they don't know God. It says, born of God and knoweth God. Takes both. Knowing God and being born of God. First qualification to knowing God is to be born of God. Now listen to me very carefully. I have never counseled a marriage where a husband and a wife were fighting with each other where both of them were right with God. Right. Never one time in 25 years of counseling. Never. Somebody's always not right with God. Usually it's both. Hello? When I start that feeling of, she's about to irritate me, I always go to God and say, what am I not getting between you and I? Because somewhere I'm not right. And generally it's not her fault, it's my fault. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Now listen very carefully. Your time with God will be revealed in your love relationships. Boys and girls, I can tell you how much you love mom and dad by the time you spend with your God. Children need to be taught to walk with God so they can walk in agreement with mom and dad that are walking with God. Children would never say, I hate you, if they were right with God. Hello. Now, children are sinners too. I don't care what home they grow up in, you don't have nail prints in your hand and you didn't resurrect from the grave. So you got sinful children. And before you stick your Pharisaical nose into somebody else's child rearing, just hang on, yours are coming up. And some of you that got those cute little babies and the little ones that are so easy to handle, wait till they get as big as you are and can talk back to you. You'll find out how good your parenting skills are. You might be able to pick up a board and beat them over the backside with it, but some 15, 16, 17-year-old boy isn't going to listen to you just because you beat him. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Now, he might still need whomped every once in a while, but it ought to be less frequent. And those of you that have the 2 and the 3 and the 4 and the 5-year-olds, hang on. It does get better. Instead of beating them every day, it'll go to every other day. Then it goes to about once every 2 or 3 days. Then it goes to about once a week. Every once in a while, you go a couple weeks, amen? Happiest day of your life is when you throw the paddle away. You say, when's that happen? When they leave the house. Got to have that threat there, amen? Now listen to me. If you don't love God, how can you love somebody else? If you don't serve God, how are you going to serve your spouse or your children? Some of you don't understand serving because you don't serve God. The best way to love God's people is to love God. Can I tell you how you keep from having church problems? Have your people love God? Well, this person, I don't think they love me. I get so sick and tired of that immature 3-year-old statement, it bothers me. Recently, I was counseling someone, and they said, well, so-and-so in your church just doesn't love me. And I came unscrewed. I don't raise my voice very often. This person pushed me and had pushed me for a long time, and I came unscrewed on purpose. I slammed my hand on my desk. I went, you have no right to make that judgment. I said, you are so selfish in your love. You only accept the love the way you want it. You don't love. Got real quiet in my office. For about the next 10 minutes, I taught them this point of this sermon, just so you know. If you don't receive love the way you want it, then it's not love. Let me ask you a question. What do you want from God for him to prove that he loves you? Some of you say, well, God, I'm not going to do this unless you do this to me, like you're holding God hostage. pardon me, but that's baby stuff. Put two little 4-year-olds together and watch them play together. No, you can't have my toy unless I get this from you. That's how you're acting. We hold God hostage. When your child finally matures to the point where they say to their brother, their sister, to mom or dad, no, that's okay, you have it. You know, what happened? Moms, you know what I'm talking about. You got 4 pieces of pie, 5 people, the kids and your husband get it, and you don't get one. Because mom knows how to love. Dad, when's the last time you gave your wife or one of your kids your piece of pie and you went without? Then you went and got the gallon of ice cream and sucked it down, amen? Now, wait a minute. So many times we're so concerned about how we want to be loved. Every once in a while, as my kids got older, you know, Christmas time is fun. I enjoy Christmas. And around my house, I tried to do things a little different every once in a while at Christmas. And as my kids got older and have become closer to adults, I've treated them more like adults. And we've done, in the last 4 or 5 years, a lot of crazy stuff. One year, of course, there was 5 of us, so we drew names. And we didn't tell each other who we got. It was funny. Everybody knew who the other got because they paired up to go shop for the other people that they all wanted to go shopping together. I was the only one that didn't go shopping with the 4, and nobody knew who I got, but they did figure it out because they just kind of figured out where everything was going. Now, wait a minute. We had a lot of fun. We took our Christmas money, divided it 5 ways, gave everybody 1/5 of it, and said, go buy for somebody else and don't buy for yourself. That's fun. There's been years we took more than half of our money and spent it on somebody else not even related to us just to give it away to help somebody. We've done all kinds of things like that. Say why? Because I want my kids to learn how to love somebody, not worry about being loved. We're loved, trust me. It is a very humbling thing to be loved by the people of God. Last, and I'll finish, and this is the whole sermon. Loving God means you make him the center of all your love, not first. You must make him center of your love to love him. I joke about this. I love my kids, but I love my wife far more than I love my kids. Some of you mamas are making a mistake. That's why the second highest divorce rate in America comes after 25 years of marriage. Because after they've had kids, raised them, the kids are gone, you look at that guy that's been working for 25 years like a dog to pay all the bills, and you say, who are you? You put everything you had into your kids and not your husband. I kiss my wife every day before I leave the house. Multiple times, amen? Say why? Because I love her. I come into my office. If you go into my office, sit down at my desk, look straight across from my desk, there's the biggest picture in my office is a picture of my wife. Say why? Because as I sit at my desk, she gets my attention. Say why? Because she's the center of my attention. Every Bible that I study out of, every Bible I preach out of, I've got a picture of her in the front of my Bible. Say why? Because she's the center of my attention. I don't just text her and say, okay, coming home, need anything? There's times I just text her during the day and say, love you, thinking of you. Say why? Because she's the center of my attention. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Let me ask you a question. Let's say you take 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 minutes or an hour in the morning and talk to God. Do you talk to him ever again during the day? Or is he just first in your life? God doesn't want just your attention one time a day and it's over. He wants to be the center of everything that you do. I'm not talking about some spooky kind of woo-woo-woo love. I'm talking about real, old-fashioned, thinking through it, I love you. I was preaching this morning. We gave the invitation. I was watching hands go up for people to get saved. I was watching people walk this aisle, and it was quiet up here for a moment. You know why? Because I was saying, God, I love you. I can't believe this. Wow. God, I hope you're happy. I'm about ready to come unscrewed. I was loving God while all that was going on. Say why? I want him to be the center of it all. It wasn't me, that's for sure. It was God. He wants to be the center of your life. He wants to be the center of your work. Hey, as you go to the shop, as you go to the office, as you go to where you work tomorrow, is God there? Some of you hate your job because God's not there. That's not God's fault. Some of you want him to be the center of your home. Let me ask you a question. How often do you talk to him about it? Some of you are about, and thank God my kids are almost grown. I know what it's like when you got those ones that are hitting that 2-3 stage. There's a reason they call it terrible twos and terrible threes, because you want to pop their little heads off and spit down the hole. Okay, I understand that. I heard a very wise man once say, the reward for not killing your kids as teenagers is called grandkids. I haven't got there yet, but I'm hoping to be rewarded someday, amen? Man, you think 2 and 3 is hard? Hit junior high. Then you think that's hard, wait till you got adult kids, amen? Adult kids have adult problems. It's bigger than boo-boos on the kneecap, amen? And wait till they're away from home and they got problems and you still can't fix it. It really gets exciting. Hey, Dad. Uh-oh. 500 miles away. How am I supposed to fix that? I don't even, you know, it's great. You know, God wants to be the center of your play. Can you take God everywhere you go for entertainment? Be careful where you go. Be careful. I don't think God's in going to the place where all the people are walking around in their underwear on the sand in the water. Well, God could be there because I'm there. I don't think God's got his eyeballs open. Not real smart. I realize there are things that we have to live in this world. I know people that wouldn't go anywhere, and I mean this. I had a college professor. He wouldn't buy his groceries in a grocery store, and this is 25 years ago. If the grocery store sold alcohol, guess what? He'd starve to death today. Amen, Brother Jerry? He tells me it was the coffee aisle at Target. I don't know that I should believe him or not. I told him it was Irish coffee. But, you know, I know people that, you know, you used to be able to go to restaurants that didn't serve alcohol. It's hard anymore. You know, you can't even go to the gas station. I was at Sheetz the other day, and I was standing in line, and right by the cash register, they're now selling wine by the glassful at the register. I was thinking, good night, this is a gas station. People come in here in their cars, and they want them to buy wine and drink and drive. This is real smart, you know? It doesn't make sense to me. I realize you can't be away from it totally. But when's the last time you went to the gas station with your kids and said, okay, that's bad, that's wrong? I'll never forget the day I took one of my kids to the barber shop, and the barber was smoking. My son jumped up on the barber chair, and the guy sucked on a cigarette and blew the smoke. He said, you smoking? He said, yeah. He said, that's bad. You're going to go to hell. He about swallowed the cigarette whole. Reverend, what'd you tell this kid? You talk to him, not me. I didn't ask you about it. He did. Y'all know what I'm talking about. God wants to be the center of everything. He doesn't want to just be first. Folks, your children want you to love them. That's all they want. They don't need your things. They want you. Men, we have to work at this. We're rugged, we're tough, We don't want to show our feelings, but your children need you to show feelings. Teenage boys, it's a good thing for you to show feelings to your mama and your daddy. If you're too big to say, I love you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Men, I can tell you when you know you're in trouble. When your little one grabs your face and says, talk to me, and they're holding both sides of your face, something's wrong. Some of you spend time with your kids as you text on your phone and talk on your phone and play your games on the computer, and you call that family time. Gag. Throw the electronics out the window and sit down on the floor and play with your kids. Grab a ball glove and learn how to throw a ball and go out and throw the ball in the backyard with your kids and have fun with it. Go out and kick a ball around or throw a football or spend some time with your kids. Go take a walk together and leave your phone behind, leave your computer behind, leave your iPad behind, and just spend time with them. It could be as much as you, if you have to take two vehicles to go somewhere, split the kids up and take them one at a time with you and spend time with them. I enjoy spending time with my daughter. When we walk through the store together, guess what? I'll hold her hand. Say why? Because some other creep's not going to. I want her to get used to knowing what a man is so that she's not going to date some punky boy sometime. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you are training your daughters to date a punk because you won't spend time with them. So they'll rebel and find somebody else that's a punk. Some of you mamas need to learn how to love on your boy, but be tough enough on him to where you don't turn him into a little mama's boy. Give him a pair of cowboy boots and let him learn how to walk, amen? If he wiggles when he walks, it ain't right. If he falls down and gets a boo-boo, you can let him cry for a second, but don't let him stretch it out. I remember hearing this often. If you don't quit crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. I didn't understand that for a while. Didn't take too many times of getting something to cry about that I learned what that meant. Amen? And by the way, men, you need to learn how to cry. There is an appropriate time for a man to show his feelings and cry. By the way, your wife needs to see that. Your children need to see that. My God weeps. Some of us are just so rough and so gruff. Say why? Because God's not the center of it all. If God is the center of it all, you'll love him with all of your mind. That means you think about him. All of your soul, that means you're spending your eternity in every internal part of you. With all your heart, with all your soul, all your heart. Your cardia. That means all of your energy. Folks, I'm spoiled. I get to live for God. I understand that. But if I were never a preacher, I'd want to live for God. I really would. I'd give him every shot I've got. Say why? Because I just want to love him. Let me ask you a question. What does God have to do to you to prove he loves you? He already did it. He not only gave us Jesus, he gave us a love manual called the Bible. And you won't even read it. You won't pray. You won't spend time with him. You won't serve him. You won't love your kids. I realize, men, when you teenage boys, most of the time they don't want kiss goodnight from their dad by the time they hit that age. Okay? But you know what? It doesn't hurt you to say, I love you. And they're going to go through a spell where they won't say it back. That's okay. Eventually, they'll grow up and they'll start saying it back again. It's okay. They need to hear it from you, though. Whether there's response or not isn't the issue. You love. Don't worry about being loved. It's awkward turning into an adult. Y'all remember how bad it was? Brett, don't give me that look. No. Good. I'm not saying that. Folks, It's tough on them. They've got to learn. It might be a little easier if they knew it was okay. Some of you daddies that got little boys, just wait till they hit about 17. Mamas, World War III will take place in your home regularly. Say why? Because you got two alpha males in your house and they're going to go at it. Both of them want to lead it. It's okay. They're going to go at it from time to time. There's going to be some war from time to time. That's what they're there for. Do you ever watch Two Bucks? They start fighting, start clanking their heads, start pushing and shoving. I don't think that's the way it ought to be in your house, but there's going to be some war every once in a while. You get two teenage boys that are close in age at your house, it's going to get exciting every once in a while. Say why? Because that's just the way God made a man. He's got to lead it or he's not doing what he's supposed to do, amen? But you'll get through it. But they need to know you love them. Your children, you ought to be able to look at them and say, I love you. And they say, I know. I know. By the way, even when they're doing wrong, when your children do wrong, it's the hardest to express to them how much you love them. You say, how do I do it? You keep God the center of it. You keep loving him. You keep loving them. And eventually they'll come back. I promise you. I can't tell you what shape they'll come back in. But if they know somebody really loves them, they'll come back. They'll get beat up enough by the outside world. They're going to say, why do I do this? Remember the prodigal son? There's a Jewish boy slopping hogs, eating pig food, and a Jew shouldn't even be around pigs. And he said, what am I doing? My dad's servants have it better than I. I'm going home. I'm going to go where somebody loves me. How long did it take? We don't know. But he went back to a place where somebody loved him. And may I say this, this church will be a place where we love people. When they're right, when they're wrong, when they're sinning, when they're doing well, when they're at the top or when they're at the bottom, we're going to love them. We're not going to kick them when they're down. I am a crusader for Christian school kids and for Christian home kids that when they make a mistake, they got a place to come back to. They're sinners just like everybody else. I don't condone the wrong that they will do, but let me tell you something, they're welcome back here. They can do things for God. Some of you better thank God that wasn't the way it was for you. Some of you got saved out of a worse life than what they're doing, and you want to criticize them. If God could save you, why can't he salvage them? That's called love. Let me ask you a question. Is it just phileo to you? Tickle-feely? That's what the drugs, the rock and roll, the immorality, that's what all that is. It's phileo, tickle-feely. Or is it agape? Is God just first in your life? Or do you want to make him center of your life? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope that God got a hold of somebody tonight. Maybe you're a man that needs to show your feelings a little more. Maybe you're a lady that needs to step up. Maybe you're a child that needs to step up. Maybe you're in the middle of something wrong and maybe nobody even knows, but you need to get it right. But God needs to become the center of everything that you do.